Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the author of the Wrestling Noir book saga, Steve Pearson. Hi, Steve. How you doing, Stephen? Steve?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, yeah. I'm just delighted we just heard the news that Daniel Bryan is coming back to wrestle. I hope you don't waste it on tagging him with Shane.
I hope it's a full-time thing. I hope it's not just like a one-off. That'd be a bit of a waste, because they probably would do just a tag with Shane or something.
I'd hate it if he just did a tag with Shane and he's cleared to come in the ring but not do any bumps, so he literally comes in and puts the yes lock on or something, and that's his WrestleMania moment. I'd hate that. But we need So, huge thanks for joining us this evening. So, firstly, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
I started watching regularly about 1990, I think. Mm. I think I've seen bits and bobs here and there, but I think consistently started watching. I think I got bug from about 1990 onwards.
Yeah.
But I've seen bits and bobs here and there, but, you know, I think when it exploded on Sky TV in 1990, that was it for a lot of our generation, I think.
Yeah, we got Sky in 92. Before that, we had to get videos for the video shop and stuff. So.
That's the one, yeah.
Who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
I think you got your introductory wrestlers, haven't you? Mm. Basically, when you're a kid, you've got the Hogans, the Warriors, the Savages, and then you kind of grow from there to your own personal favourites. But I'm a massive Bret Hart fan. I have the Bret Hart logo tattooed on my arm at the moment.
Wow,
so
cool.
You know, that's a commitment. I was a massive Bret Hart fan. The Bulldog, of course, because it was a patriotic country and things, so that was always a good one. Obviously the Rockers as well, you know. I think when you get past the introductory stage,
yeah,
you kind of get a feel for sort of what they call the work rate guys, and I think then when you kind of blossom and mature as a fan, I think you kind of incorporate sort of a bit of everything, I feel.
Yeah, I was very similar. I was Savage, Jake the Snake,
that's the one, yeah,
who I loved as a kid, and then I don't know why I had to think for the Bushwhackers as well.
I think everyone of my generation, though they were, well, whether they would actually admit it or not, was a fan of Bushwhackers growing up.
Yeah, but it did turn into a bit of a joke, but apparently back in the day they were pretty hardcore. That's when they were the sheep herders.
I like the WWF run. I don't know why people look down it so much. I guess I think wrestling fans have a way of if there's too much comedy, or there's a bit too much comedy, I think they kind of feel it demeans wrestling in a way, and demeans their interests, so they kind of want everything to be a bit more sort of serious at times, which I understand, but, you know, I tend to incorporate everything, so that's what it is.
Alright, so if we go on to your book series, so it's based around the 1980s territorial wrestling scene?
In short, what I'm trying to do is give a dramatised fictional counterpart of the rise of the 1980s professional wrestling scene through the Rock and Wrestle era.
All right,
starting from the kind of smaller territories and then building up to the obvious WWF expansion period therein. And, so far I've only got the one book, but I've got another book written that's just being kind of edited and taken care of. And as it progresses, I would like to go state per state, territory by territory, until getting to where there's only sort of one or two companies left surviving.
In book 9, there'll be an evil villain called Manny McVincent who wants to buy all the territories.
That's a good name. I might steal that. But yeah, I think towards the end we'll filter everything down until there's only one left. But at the moment, it's we'd be going with the regional kind of system,
yeah,
regional territorial system, and they're building up therein.
So your current book, Real in Memphis, A Tale of Territory, Treachery and Turbulence. So it's described as a Game of Thrones with power drivers. So
that's what On Reviewer called it.
Yeah.
It stuck with me because that's always like the...
That sounds cool.
I think that's the quickest way I can get its content across to people is to refer to it as a Game of Thrones with power drivers.
So what should they expect from this book?
What should they expect? I like to think the story's decent. Basically, I'm going on the premise of following the promoter the main promoter, which would be a chap called Harvey Wallbanger.
Yeah.
Based on the drink. I've had a few of them over the years. It'd be based on him and his, you know, his kind of inner circle and some of the top talent therein, and how, you know, they would interact within the wrestling circle in with regards to putting on shows and building their particular brand, basically. It's like I look at it sort of thing. Like again, with a if you look at sort of like if you look at Game of Thrones, for example, it's not necessarily the actual background that draws you in; it's the characters and the strength definitely. Of the characters and the situations they're put in. And that's kind of how it goes with fiction. I mean, and you could detach that to wrestling, I think, to be honest. So that's kind of how I look at it, and that's what I'm trying to incorporate across. But there's writing characters isn't easy, of course, but writing wrestling people and doing them justice, because some of them are actually very complicated individuals with very, very particularly, how would you put it, very colourful backgrounds.
Yeah.
That's where I'm coming from. And it's sort of working within those parameters to put out a story. It's, I think it's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, so modern wrestling fans, when you think of like Memphis wrestling, you probably think Jerry King Lawler probably is his feud of Andy Kaufman. But when you look back at that era in Memphis, it's just a who's who of 80s and early 90s WWF.
So. Oh, yeah, well, everybody came through at one point or another. Whether they were called by the title they ended up being called or not, everyone came from Memphis at one stage or another. So it's definitely a firm starting block, I think.
Oh, didn't The Rock have an awful name in Memphis? I think it was Flex.
Flex Cavana. Flex yeah. Cavana. it's amazing to look at him doing that gimmick. It's worth hunting down on YouTube.
Yeah.
It might be on the networks somewhere, I don't know. But it's worth hunting down, because you can take one look at that and think, how in the world did this guy make it to this level? Because that whole character and that whole... It's like the Rocky Maivia character when they bought him.
That was basically the same.
Oh, the silly haircut. You take one look at it and you just automatically think this guy's going to flop. And, well, he didn't, so... But, yeah, it's... I think Memphis was definitely the starting block, I think.
Sorry, I've just lost my question. So, Wrestling Noir... So, the saga's going to be, like... Is it planned to be a 10-part series? So, is the whole series going to be set in the Territory days? So.
Well, I think eventually it will... eventually we'll go from Memphis, we'll get to New York eventually, and obviously the biggest territory going on from about 85 onwards, so
yeah.
I think right now Memphis is set in 79, 80, and then we'd go, each book would cover a year per territory in the two, and I think by the later books we'd definitely, like I say, I'm going to whitter it down and incorporate everything that way, so... Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it, really, to do it justice, I think.
Yeah, but it'd be really interesting, how you differentiate the promoters for each area, but the characters of the wrestlers in each area, it could be fun. Are you quite a fan of Create a Wrestler on the games? Or?
I think when you get the games, you have that period where you make your friends.
Yeah.
Then you download non-wrestling people like Freddy Krueger and, you know, Megatron and stuff, and have those odd little dream matches and stuff. And then I think you start making your own little bits there, as if you were in a like a role-play game or, you know, one of those things. And I think you sort of spin from there, basically. And I think the best thing for me, and you don't get it anymore because the internet's opened up so much and so everyone knows everyone, but the best thing for me when I was a kid growing up was when they would bring out a new wrestler with very little fanfare, and you wouldn't know anything about him, and you just watch and just try and absorb what his character was, what it was about. And I know the guy had a better run as a Godfather, but when I was a kid, the first time I saw Papa Shango, I just sort of looked at this guy and just thought, what does this guy do? You know, obviously he's a voodoo man and stuff, but you know, when he gets back through that curtain, I was thinking, what sort of life does this guy have? You know, what does he do? Who is he? Is he married, etc.? You know, what's his life? You know, it's the same. I think guys like you get someone like that, or say like Bam Bam, being like, when I was a kid, I used to think with Bam Bam Bigelow, I used to imagine that he would get backstage and just beat other people up as well.
Yeah.
And then get in his car, go to a bar and start a fight there. You know, you couldn't visualize someone looking like that as when you're a kid could have an ordinary life and could have a wife and children and pay a mortgage and pay bills like the rest of us. So that's how I always look at things.
So there's meant to be a Vince McMahon biopic being made. So I think it'll be really interesting if they focus the whole film around how he got all the territories.
But potentially, that's probably the greatest untold story in wrestling. But the leaked scripts that were shown, they read like something out of East Bound and Down, I think.
Yeah.
They were a bit, they were. I thought some of the ideas I had for this book were a little bit edgy and a little bit out there. But they were really far gone. If you ask me, I don't know who the writer is, but I hope it comes off. I don't know if it's going to come off with that particular script, but I do hope it comes off as a story one day.
Thanks to the rumours, Bradley Cooper was going to be Vince McMahon.
Yeah,
must have some budget behind it if they can get him involved.
That would be good, actually. So, guys, it is the leader of the Billy Club filling on, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So you also have a YouTube channel. The trail.
I'm not sure the link, actually.
I'll put the link. The link will be in the description. But,
okay.
The trailer for the book is really cool. Did you have something to do with that? Oh.
What's that, sorry?
There's a trailer for the book on the video.
No, a fan did that. A fan done that the other week and emailed it to me. I was really impressed. I'll stick it up there. If anyone in the video has any objections to being it there, then I'll happily, amend it. But I was well impressed with that. I was just out of the blue. I don't know where that came from. It's just like I say, just someone emailed me that. And I just thought, well, hell, I'll stick it up there. See what it looks like, because I was quite impressed with that.
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought it gave me a real want to read the book. So, cool. I might actually put some money down and get it. I'm not a huge reader of books, but sounds interesting.
No. wrestling books in general are a curious thing, because they're mainly just autobiographies, and I'm a big autobiography enthusiast anyway.
Mm.
But there's not an abundance of wrestling fiction out there, I don't find. Like I say, it's mainly autobiographies and biopics, I find, but there's very little in my fiction, so I kind of thought, well, that's again, there's some interesting tales being told in wrestling over the years. Whether they've been meant to have gotten out or not is another story, but there's definitely some interesting stories there, and like I say, I kind of sort of was able to sort of go from them and be inspired to write therein.
Yeah, and I also really enjoyed the Wrestling in Movies series. And what inspired you to make that series?
I just noticed there wasn't very many good wrestling movies. there's a lot of it's a strange one, because I think I can't imagine anyone would make a film and go to make it bad by design. But it just seems to be there's only a handful of people who have made wrestling films that generally come across with any real affection for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a big bad movie enthusiast anyway, so I tend to appreciate the work they put into, whether they were fans or not. But I don't know. It's just when I was a kid, you didn't see many wrestling films, and of course back in the old days when it was kayfabed, they kind of kept everything nice and quiet and didn't really want too much coming out that would expose the business.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I've got a load more. Load more plan, load more dukes, there's a lot more films. There's a lot of films out there. There's a lot more than I thought there was. But,
What's the Roddy Piper one? Is it Body Slam?
Body Slam, yeah, which has Roddy Piper and Dirk Benedict, or Face from the A-Team.
Yeah. Tonga Kid, I think, is in it as well.
Yeah. Tonga Kid, Captain Lou, Barbarian's in there somewhere.
I remember loving that film when I was little, and then...
Yeah, well...
it's pretty bad when you watch it now.
I think there's a certain amount of affection for the films you watch growing up and things you do, and with wrestling generally, I think, of harking back to an era you watched when you were a kid. But nostalgia, I think, is a tricky one, because the mind does cheat,
mm.
and you can get kind of lost in the past, which is ironic considering I'm writing a 10-book saga about the old days. But I think you have to be kind of mindful of these things.
So what other movies have you got lined up?
Oh, blimey. I think obviously The Wrestler, the 70s one, and the Mickey Rourke one. There's the Fonz done. Henry McNunn. That was loosely based on Gorgeous George. That was quite an interesting looking one.
I haven't heard of that one. The Wrestler from the 70s, that's the one based loosely around Vern Gagne's.
It's not brilliant, but it was of its era. It was very interesting. There's also other bits I could do about TV shows as well.
Mm.
You know, where you've got some wrestling elements to some of them. Like there was a Quantum Leap episode one time where Sam Beckett jumped into the body of an American wrestler posing as a Russian during the Cold War one. That's a good piece of television too. Obviously, there's an A-Team episode as well with Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, as well. That's worth hunting down if you're a fan of the 80s.
There's a Boy Meets World episode with Vader's the dad and they do a wrestling match.
There you go. Yeah, Vader was a regular there as well. There's a wide berth of potential that I could play with there. It's just time, isn't it, really, as well. It's getting everything in around your day-to-day living.
There's a really funny Ren and Stimpy episode where they have a wrestling match where they get battered the whole match in a tag team match, and then the tag team partners wink at each other, fall over, and Ren and Stimpy just fall on top of them and win the match. Just to show that it was like, it's fixed, type thing.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Right, so if you want to come do a Christmas special, you could also do the classic Hulk Hogan film, Santa with Muscles.
That gets numbers, wouldn't it? there's the potential's there. Like I say, it's just it's finding the thing, and plus it's one of these things. I think as any of us know, when you're trying to create content, there's only so much you can do to promote it.
Yeah.
On Twitter and things, so it's nice to do something else that can get eyes on my book stuff too. That's how I look at it anyway.
Yes, as I've really done two episodes, but I've really enjoyed both of them. So remind the listeners again where they can buy your book.
Well, you can buy the book at WrestlingNoir.com, www.WrestlingNoir.com. You can buy it from there. If you follow a link from there, you can get it. The hardback one will link you to the Amazon page. You can also buy it on digital from me there. Because I have a slight disagreement with the way Amazon do business with books, because they'll sell you a physical copy for such amount of money, and they'll sell you a digital copy, and the difference isn't that much, really.
No.
Whereas I sort of think for a digital copy you shouldn't be paying the same for a physical one anyway. But I sort of think by selling a digital one, it's like, at the moment I can sell it, because it's through me, I can sell it for an introductory price of £1.
Wow.
So, like I say, it's only a pound, so it's definitely worth doing through there.
Yeah, as I say, I'll put the links to everything in the description. Before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
You can follow me on Twitter at ThySteevePearson, and you can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNoir.
Okay, and again, all the links will be in the description below the interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Sure. 10 books in me, so...